Ryan, you've seen more college football literally than anyone I know. Go ahead and lie to America and tell them that you've seen a better running back than Reggie Bush in your time.
Yeah, dude. I have this argument with people all the time. Like, it's, to me, the two most electrifying running backs of my lifetime are Reggie Bush and Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders was pre-internet. So those guys get penalized, right? I remember in high school, us like rushing home on a Saturday night to watch SportsCenter just to see the Barry Sanders highlights out of Stillwater because they weren't on TV every week.
Gundy, handoff again. Sanders, running room, look out, could go. One man to beat, he does. Touchdown, Oklahoma State. The OSU offense exploding. Three plays going 74 yards, and we are just underway at Stillwater.
But Reggie Bush was that multiplied because he was an internet dude.
Go, baby! Yeah.
We knew about Reggie. We had all seen Reggie before he ever touched the football at USC. And so there was a hype that came with him, and he was better than the hype.
Reggie Bush is the reason why, well before I ever moved to Southern California, I knew San Diego's zip code.
Yeah, Helix High School. Like, he's so good, we all know what Helix High, I don't know where Helix High School is. I know it's in San Diego. I've never been there, but I kind of want a t-shirt.
Season officially ended this afternoon with the arrival of the prestigious Silver Pigskin at Helix High, junior sensation Reggie Bush.
Reggie, trophy's finally yours for keeps now. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I got it in my arms. I mean, I realize the honor that's been still within this trophy, and I just hope I can live up to it one day.
For those of you who don't know, on his eye black, he used to put the numbers 619. Man's rep San Diego.
Yeah, we all knew about the guy and could not wait for him. And Reggie Bush came in with the hype and was better than the hype. And unfortunately, brought a lot of other stuff with him. And that's why we're still talking about it today.
Did Reggie Bush get paid to play college football? Yes, he did. He knowingly broke the rules.
According to the allegations, obviously, sports marketers paid for everything from hotel stays to a rent-free home where Bush's family apparently lived, a limousine, transportation, and a new suit he wore accepting his Heisman Trophy Award.
Former USC running back Reggie Bush could reportedly be stripped of his 2005 landslide Heisman Trophy win, as reported by ESPN Sports.
The world watched as Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy was revoked in 2010. And now, 14 years later, we watched him get it back. The Heisman Trust announced last week the formal reinstatement of Bush's trophy, citing, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape, end quote, as the reason.
I was so excited yesterday when I walked into the room and I saw a bunch of the former Heisman Trophy winners standing there because it showed me that the fraternity was real. Today was the first time my kids saw the Heisman Trophy. And the first thing they said was, dang, it's big.
So today, ESPN's Ryan McGee is here to tell the story of how college football transformed to get Reggie his trophy back and what will come next as college athletes' power continues to grow. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Thursday, May 2nd. This is ESPN Daily. All right, Ryan, as a refresher, since a lot of these Gen Z kids don't exactly know what was going on in the early 2000s, please do walk me through the beginning of Reggie Bush's career as a Trojan.
Well, he came in as the most highly recruited athlete in the nation. He stayed in Southern California to go to USC. And so USC, there's kind of two USC eras, right? There's the, you know, 5 yards in a cloud of dust. And it's Mike Garrett and it's O.J. Simpson and it's the 1960s and the 1970s and, you know, Rose Bowl every year and the team we all saw on ABC on New Year's Day. And then they kind of went away and they weren't relevant. They kind of wandered through the wilderness for a while. They weren't cool. And then all of a sudden in the early 2000s, USC became cool again and Pete Carroll was there and they won a Heisman, and now they're back in the Rose Bowl, and now it's in high definition. And suddenly Will Ferrell, the USC graduate, is coming out to practices and pulling all pranks. USC got cool, and then what put them over the top is when they signed the number one high school recruit in the nation, and it was the most electrifying player on the on YouTube, the YouTube, as we used to call it, and he chose to go to USC. And had it been a few years earlier, I don't believe he would have done it. Had it been 15 years earlier, he certainly wouldn't have done it. But Reggie Bush walked onto that campus at USC, and the program that was already awesome suddenly became, it got more swagger to it than it had before, and I didn't think that was possible.
The lone setback. Bush with a hole. Cuts to the outside. Breaks a tackle. Reggie Bush for the touchdown.
I think of Reggie Bush as the First Amendment with hips. You know, it just he kind of expresses himself in his own way.
Student body left, student body right. Those are the plays that USC ran. In the middle there, you had Marinovich, you had my man Keyshawn. But other than that, it was a wasteland. You're exactly right. And then all of a sudden, Pete Carroll, he's got guys like Snoop Dogg on the sidelines. Now, let me ask you this. Are there one or two plays that you can remember specifically that explained just how good Reggie Bush was?
I mean, listen, the Bush push, which was, you know, Notre Dame, USC, the Golden Shillelagh. You know, this is a classic rivalry that had lost its juice. When USC went away, Notre Dame was suddenly very good again. And then USC gets good, and Notre Dame's okay. And now they both reach the peak at the same night in South Bend, Indiana. And dude, I remember that night. I remember somebody in my family had a birthday party, and I was so mad. And we were at a place called Leroy Fox in Charlotte. And I just remember my brother, my brother-in-law, and myself angering everyone else in the family because we're like, hey, you know what? I know we got this private room in the back. There is not a TV in here. And you talk about matching the hype. That game matched the hype. And so the Bush push was, it didn't make sense, right?
7 seconds. And SC with the ball going out of bounds. That's Pete Carroll saying just down it.
Down it, yep. They're just going to down this ball.
Leinert going to try to sneak it ahead.
He got in.
Touchdown, SC!
What happened was that QB Matt Leinert was struggling to get over the line into the end zone, and Reggie pushed him in.
Your brain couldn't process what had just happened in the biggest game of the year in the score that won the game. Was it legal? Was it illegal?
Yeah.
You know, it was everything. It was the Reggie Bush experience tied up into one, but that's the play. That is the play that they played at his Heisman ceremony. That was the play that they will play attached to Reggie Bush forever and ever and amen. And I had to crane my neck around some drunk dude at the bar at a fried chicken joint in Charlotte, North Carolina, because I'm a good family man.
I think for me, it was the run against Fresno State. He gets the ball, breaks left, and breaks a couple tackles on the sideline, bisects the rest of the field, clear across to the right, and beats seven other dudes down the field.
Reggie Bush right up the middle, gets the outside. He's at the 30. It's another foot race. Cuts it back to the 20, comes back to the near side of the field. He is going to go. It's going to be another USC touchdown and another thing of beauty from one of the best running backs you will ever see.
But you're just like, are we serious? Is this Tecmo Bowl? Is that Bo Jackson? Is this a playground game? How is this happening at the D1 level? I don't care what you think of Fresno State. That run is burned into my brain as the best play I ever saw that guy make. Coming up, Reggie's success hits a roadblock. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Okay, Ryan, in 2005, Bush wins the Heisman Trophy. In 2010, as we say in Black Panther, it was scripted away. What led to him losing that prestigious award?
So there's a guy named Lloyd Lake, and I'm putting this in air quotes, a sports marketer is how he described himself. He really was an agent. And he, with the promise of, I want to represent you when you inevitably get to the National Football League, you know, Lloyd Lake promised to take care of the family in the meantime. And the family was living in a house that, quite frankly, they couldn't afford. And they were in this house because of Lloyd Lake. And it was just under $300,000 that eventually Lloyd Lake claimed that Reggie Bush owed him. And so when all this comes to the surface and all this is happening, and USC, in the eyes of the NCAA, after a multiple year investigation, how can you not know about this, right? How can you not know that this is going on? And when USC pushes back and says, well, we can't keep track of this, that, and so-and-so, the NCAA infractions committee says, there's no way with this player, with this much hype, with this athlete, that you cannot take extraordinary measures to protect yourself from this. At the time, the athletic director at Miami, Paul D, who was the chair of the NCAA infractions committee, he said, quote, high-profile players merit high-profile enforcement. And what he meant by that was, if you're going to sign this guy, you got to be ready to deal with what all comes with him. That's the gig. And also, if you don't do that, then we have to hit you with a penalty that lets everyone know that they have to do that going forward. So USC should have known what was going on. They just played ignorant, threw up their hands, and as a result, they got hit with very, very significant penalties.
Pulling back from USC for a quick second, I feel like in my lifetime, this was the mode of what I'll just call peak haterade from the NCAA. The sport was pretty popular. We were in the BCS era. College athletes were getting to be well known, but for whatever reason, we were still acting like this wasn't happening. Can you tell me a little bit more about the relationship between the NCAA and some of their member schools at this point compared to other eras that you've covered or been a part of?
Well, this is kind of the start of the chasm that exists now and that is getting wider every single day. And the reality was, this was also around the time that the NCAA started signing these astronomical television contracts with the basketball tournament. And this is the time when all this money is being raked into the universities. And this is the time when coaches like Pete Carroll started accepting multi-million dollar contracts. And so if you are a running back for the national championship college football team, and you're on national television every weekend, and everybody seems to be making money off of you except for you, then to me, this was kind of, it had always been around, but to me, this is when it became a very formal, very divisive argument that continues to this day.
So getting back to Southern Cal here in Los Angeles, how did this whole situation with Bush put them under a microscope, and how did it fracture Reggie's relationship with the school itself?
Well, as the investigation goes on, and then eventually the NCAA, you know, hits USC with a massive reduction in scholarships. And, you know, now that they got a postseason ban. And, you know, as part of USC's reaction to this, there is a formal, okay, Reggie, we don't have a relationship anymore. And it was in the middle of all this that Reggie Bush, and people forget this, Reggie Bush returned the Heisman Trophy as a preemptive move.
This thing, you know, regarding USC and NCAA is, to me, the closest thing to, you know, to death without dying. Whether it's all true or all wrong, or, you know, or whether we're guilty or we're not guilty, it's still my responsibility. And I have to accept that. And, you know, I have to deal with it as it is and try to manage it as best as I can.
Because he had won every other major college football player of the year, running back of the year award. And those committees that govern those awards were already starting to make noise about, all right, we want the Doak Walker award back. We want this award back. We want all these awards back. And so kind of seeing what the Heisman Trust was more than likely going to do, Reggie sent that trophy back first.
It's his right. But if it were me, Skip Bayless, I'd still have the Heisman. I would not have given it back. I don't care what anybody says. That's my Heisman trophy. I earned it. Reggie Bush did not cheat. He didn't take performance-enhancing drugs. He didn't go on the field and cheat in any way.
And then, of course, there was the formality of the Heisman Trust saying, yes, smart move, because we were going to take it away from you. But his relationship with his school was fractured. And this is why Pete Carroll went to the NFL, quite frankly. As the fallout of all this. So the USC that dominated college football, that was the coolest program in college football, won a couple of national championships during the decade of the 2000s. Right at the end of that decade, it all ended. Pete Carroll's gone. Reggie Bush's Heisman is gone. This ruling was handed down in 2010. And the biggest star of a program that won three Heismans during that decade was basically told, you're not welcome here.
I think a lot of people confuse some of the major players in that scenario over the course of the years. People thought that it was SC that stripped him of his trophy. People thought it was the NCAA. No. It was the Heisman Trust specifically. We can get into more of that later. But the reason I ask that is because I want to know, is there any sort of history of this award being taken away from its recipients, or was this the first time?
This was the first time. And, and O.J. Simpson's Heisman was never taken away. Billy Cannon's Heisman was never taken away. Billy Cannon won the Heisman for LSU in the 1950s and later ran into a lot of illegal issues, gambling, a bunch of stuff. I saw Billy Cannon's Heisman sitting in a rib joint in Baton Rouge, 30 years ago, and he had sold it because it needed the money. And so it had never been formally taken away from someone, despite the fact that there were a couple of unscrupulous characters that had won the Heisman Trophy.
I remember being here in Los Angeles, and you'd always hear about Reggie throwing a press conference here, a press conference there, because he wants to get the cause out there. I remember thinking, man, this is really serious to him.
I got dreams of coming back in the stadium and running out of that tunnel with the football team. I got dreams of walking back in here, seeing my jersey, my banner, right down there next to the rest of the Heisman Trophy winners. But I can't rightfully do that without my Heisman Trophy.
This is not just kind of a moral thing. This is a point of pride. This is a core memory for him. How did this affect his humanity, Reggie's, that is, having this award still not in his possession this many years later?
It was a lot of sleepless nights. I think it still is a lot of sleepless nights.
I was spiritually on the inside broken, and I was hurt. My first 5 years in the league when I was in New Orleans.
You still was carrying that?
Yeah, just from giving it back, but just dealing with it too.
While Reggie looks so cool publicly, right? He's playing in the NFL. You got a relationship with Kim Kardashian, for heaven's sakes. I mean, no one looks cooler than he does. But internally, privately, this was eating him alive. And Reggie talked to The Athletic about this in 2021, and then I chatted with him for a long time on the phone, and this came up. And what he said to me was, this is a quote, "Not a day goes by that I don't feel guilty for what happened to USC football, all because of something that is tied to me and my family." And I think it's important here to understand the guilt, right? And to understand the apology, and to understand that in the middle of asking for it back, and in the middle of defamation lawsuits and all these formal things, the reality is that Reggie Bush felt awful about this and continued to feel awful about this. I believed every word he said to me, and I still do.
Coming up, how the NIL era opened the door for Reggie Bush's redemption. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Okay, Ryan, we're out of the aughts or whatever we'll call that first decade of the 21st century. We're now in 2024, living in a name, image, and likeness era for college sports and athletes. This whole thing kicked off 3 years ago in June. Please explain to me how we got here more largely.
Well, all right, and this is important to say too. No one pushed back outside of USC, and they didn't even push back that hard when all this went down with what Reggie Bush was accused of doing in the mid-2000s. You couldn't find anyone to say, what an outrage. There was none of that, unless you were a USC fan. And so as the years go on, and NIL inevitably is going to happen, and then it becomes formal in the summer of 2021, all of a sudden, a lot of people start to speak up. Like immediately, you know, when the NIL deal was announced, there was that initial reaction of, well, this is going to be fun. You know, what athlete's going to get to, you know, get this endorsement or that endorsement?
Sure,
the
offensive lineman.
Yeah, the offensive lineman in Arkansas eating ribs. Right, exactly, right? And so this is going to be fun. But what I remember is the two loudest voices were, hey, do we get to play our NCAA video game again? And does Reggie Bush get his Heisman back? Those were the two things I remember hearing over and over and over again. And so if you think about it, you know, $300,000, which is ultimately the number that got everyone in trouble over this, that's nothing in 2024 numbers. In 2005, it was. In 2024, you can't rent a running back for a weekend for $300,000 at a Power 5 school in 2024, let alone, you know, get a guy, you know, for an entire season or an entire career. And so as soon as this drops in 2021, everyone's, oh, well, what about Reggie Bush? And then Reggie Bush spoke up. Okay, do I get it back now? You know, do I get my numbers back? Does USC get its national championship back? Can we undo this damage? And it got really, really loud really, really quickly.
How do you feel the NCAA has done with this? I mean, you mentioned they weren't ready, but like I the reason I say that is because it just seems like there's so many different factions that control the game now. You got guys like Caleb Williams making $10 million a year, which God bless him. And the kid spends his money well, team building opportunities, all sorts of things, getting his offensive lineman to the Heisman ceremony. Where do you feel in terms of the actual, for lack of a better term, nexus of control is with who runs things in college football at this stage because of how the money is moved and where the NCAA has positioned itself from an authority standpoint?
Well, you just, again, follow the money. That's who's in charge. What has happened now is that everyone acted like they wanted this. And now we have it. And no one was ready for it. It's the most baffling thing to me. You know, the old guy that was behind the scenes in Blue Chips, right?
Yeah.
And the guy that owned the car dealership in Friday Night Lights, they are officially in charge. They always thought they were in charge. But people just don't understand these two very most crucial aspects of the NCAA is that number one, the inmates run the asylum. Go to the website right now, theNCAA.org, and you look at the committees that make the decisions. The people who work in Indianapolis, their job is to enforce the rules that are written, whether it's, you know, football officials enforcing targeting or whether it's the infractions committee enforcing, you know, violations to, you know, pay for play or whatever. But you go look at who writes these rules. It's the people who work at the universities. So there will always be some sort of version of the NCAA because there has to be a scapegoat. There has to be someone you can point to and go, well, hell, it ain't my problem. It's their fault, right? And then the other part of the NCAA no one understands is, and people forget, it's their only job. They don't just have the job of enforcing what the Power Four schools do. There's so much that they have to deal with on so many levels, and it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of schools. And so we, and rightfully so, obsess over the Reggie Bushes of the world. But the reality is, this is the tip of an iceberg. It's a big old pile of money at the tip of that iceberg, but it's a very large iceberg underneath it that those people in Indianapolis have to run and operate and enforce and, you know, help out.
Or as Charles Barkley calls it, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
I got to say, Ryan, I was really impressed when Johnny Manziel stood up there and said, guess what, Heisman Trust? I'm not going to be a part of this operation until Reggie Bush is recognized. How did you feel about that in terms of the guy you knew Johnny Football to be?
Well, that got the glacier moving. Early spring, end of winter, Johnny says, I'm not going to the Heisman ceremony until you do the right thing. And then O.J. Simpson died. And the Heisman Trust puts out on social media, they're so sad and they're mourning the loss of this great Heisman winner. And if you go back and read the reaction from the people, I don't care which social media platform you go to, on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it now, you know, those 3.2 thousand comments, the overwhelming majority were, but you won't give Reggie Bush his Heisman back. And so between Johnny and OJ, this thing reached max Q as we hit the springtime. And so, yes, you know, say what you want about Johnny Manziel, but speaking his mind has never been an issue. And when he did that and brought it back to the national consciousness, that's really what got it rolling.
The next question that portends quite obviously is, well, what about everybody else?
Yeah.
You had a great line in your column, which was, you got a speeding ticket in a 65 a year ago. Well, now it's a 70. Why shouldn't I get my money back for that ticket that I paid off?
Yeah.
But in all earnestness, what happens to all the other things that went down that were penalized? The first thing that comes to my mind as a young black man who grew up in the 90s is obviously the Fab Five.
Yeah, but this is where it's important for everyone to understand, too. And this is something else people don't understand. The NCAA has nothing to do with the Heisman. And the Heisman Trust has nothing to do with the NCAA. In fact, in the beginning, when Reggie Bush, when NIL dropped, and Reggie Bush was like, all right, well, can we fix this? The Heisman Trust very publicly said, you know, well, this is on the NCAA. You know, if the NCAA restores these vacated wins and the vacated national championship and all these things to USC, then we'll give you the Heisman back. And the NCAA, crickets. I mean, nothing. And so the NCAA is not the BCS. It's not the college football playoff. It's not any of these things. And so the NCAA has reversed nothing when it comes to Reggie Bush. And you know, Reggie Bush currently has a defamation lawsuit up against the NCAA based on something that was said about him publicly that implied that he had done some things that he says he didn't do. But yeah, the question is, you know, all right, so does Chris Webber, does he go to the NCAA and says, all right, we want our Final Four banners back because he received money, you know, from a booster. The 1990 Syracuse lacrosse team, arguably one of the greatest teams in the history of the sport with one of the greatest players in the history of college lacrosse. They had their national championship taken away because that player, best player on the team, had a car that was co-signed for on the purchase by the coach's wife, right? So you get that back. How about Demaryius Thomas? You know, when he received $312 for some clothing and Georgia Tech lost its ACC championship because of that. So, yeah, listen, you and I both know this. The only two unstoppable forces in the universe are Father Time and billable hours. So the lawyers are coming and they're going to take this thing to court. And quite frankly, the NCAA's court record is abysmal. Like they are, what was the name of the team used to play the Globetrotters all the time?
The Generals.
The what? Yeah, the Generals. The NCAA, once they get to court, they are the Washington Generals. And so if you can get them to court, you're probably going to win. So they want to avoid that. But yeah, I don't know who's going to try to go back and retrofit current rules to get their trophies back, but I know somebody's going to try.
Well, speaking of lawyers, this is the last thing I'll ask you. Even with NIL, there are restrictions on how much cash the student athletes can make. There's caps on different things. The NCAA and the power conferences, well, they're currently defendants in an antitrust class action lawsuit arguing that these caps and restrictions, in fact, Ryan, break federal law. Likely they're going to reach a settlement that's going to lay out sort of a framework for revenue sharing, which is a word that, again, makes a lot of people itch when it comes to what they think of college sports. You know, with students, and help the NCAA avoid having to pay all these damages to the tune of $4 billion with a B dollars. Either way, we are looking at potentially a massive expansion, obviously, of athletes' income. Where do you think this is going to go, and what does this foretell for sort of the boom or bust of what the NIL system is?
Yeah, and props to our co-workers, Pete Thamel and Dan Murphy, for being all over that story. And it's revenue sharing, it all goes back to Steve Spurrier eventually, right? Steve Spurrier wanted to do this like 20 years ago. You know, let's just give him some of the money. Tell you know, you we what? Make money, let's give him some of the money. You know, I'll give him some of my salary. He went to the SEC coaches and said, well, we can give a little bit of our salary to each one of these guys. This will go away. And of course, no one wanted to do that. They're not going to give away their money. And so, yes, revenue sharing on some level is coming. But then the challenge for the NCAA is to determine who gets what. Yeah, and how do you divvy that up? You know, we see it in the ACC now. Clemson and Florida State are like, well, we're the football schools. We're bringing in the money. You know, why do we have to share our money with you guys? And so it's figuring out what that's going to be. But listen, to quote the late great friend and colleague Mike Leach, do we really want to get the state governments involved in this? Do we really want to get Washington, D.C. involved in this? Well, guess what? They're involved. And that's how we're going to end up settling this thing one way or the other. And listen, the NCAA, there's a reason that the NAIA and the NCAA used to have their headquarters across the street from each other. Because a long time ago, a group of people did not like how the NAIA, which kids, they used to run everything, were doing things. And so the NCAA was formed. The NAIA now does a great job with really small, primarily religious-based schools. The NCAA became what it became, and now people aren't happy with how they're doing things. So we'll see where it goes, but man, it's professional sports. I don't care what anybody tells you.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Clint Yates.
I'm Clint Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.